Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by DraftKings, right here on Giants.com. I am John Schmelk. He is Jeff Fiegels as the Giants get ready to take on the Dallas Cowboys down in Big D on Sunday Night Football. And Jeff, needless to say, monster game, probably the biggest one of the year thus far. Of course, it's the next one up. That's what the players say. But in terms of the division, the Cowboys are 2-0 right now in the NFC East. The Giants are 1-1, and the Cowboys are 5-1 overall. Giants are 3-3. They cannot afford to drop another game behind Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about the Giants losing this game, they're going to be 3 games behind both the Eagles and the Cowboys. So, monster game. Yes, it is the next game on the schedule, but it's imperative that they go out and play well and find a way, scrap a way to win this game, because if they don't, John, they're just going to bury themselves, and it's just going to, you know. And the other thing, too, is you always want to win a game going into your bye week.
And coming off a disaster they had last week, too.
Yeah, I just, you know, so it's a big game for this organization. It's a big game for this team.
201-939-4513. That's the telephone number if you want to chime in on the phones, or you can hit us up on Twitter at #GiantsChat. But let's get going first with the injuries. And the Giants, unfortunately for them, are dealing with a ton of them. Rashad Jennings will miss the game for the second straight week. And now the Giants are without their best weapon at wide receiver, Victor Cruz. He is out for the year with that torn patella tendon. He has already had it surgically repaired. And Jeff, that's two of the Giants' biggest weapons on offense. This is like going into Dallas and they don't have DeMarco Murray or Dez Bryant.
Yeah.
How do you adjust to that?
Well, I guess the more worst thing here would be if they lost Eli, right? I mean, these guys are
the only thing worse would be Eli. Yeah, no question.
But Victor Cruz, I think, is a huge, huge void. Not only on the field, but in the locker room. And I know that people have been talking about this all week, but you know, I remember in my career where there was certain players that were lost for the season, and that week after, it's still kind of like, it's almost like a death in the family. You just still don't know how to react to it, and you just kind of, you know, you miss him and just find out, you know, how important he was in the locker room, being a leader, especially to those young receivers like Odell Beckham, and just kind of a model, if you will, of how these guys kind of did things with him and what Victor did for them. And the other thing is Rashad Jennings. What a professional he is, John. We know how he takes his job very serious, how he came into the Giants organization and has really established himself as being a vocal leader and a guy that's been a leader on the field and a mentor to Andre Williams. So you lose those two guys and you have to sit there and think, how can they rebound from this? But they have to. So they go out and they make some changes, and Andre Williams was supposed to be the guy last week against the Eagles. That didn't happen. I think that now this week it's going to have to happen for this team to win.
And it has to be done as a team, because
no one else
on this team at wide receiver has the pedigree, the talent, or the experience of Victor Cruz. Odell Beckham is one of the guys that's going to replace him, and he knows it's going to be a team effort.
The entire team, we all have to step up, and we all have to play better. You know, I feel like there's things that us as receivers, we definitely have to do now. Get out there and make more plays, and you know, give Eli places to put the ball. And you know, I think that's something that the receivers take pride in now. Is we're gonna have to go and make plays, you know, day in and day out.
And this can't just be Odell Beckham here.
No.
The kid's practiced for 3 weeks. He's played in 2 NFL games.
Yeah.
You know, Reuben Randall's a second-round pick. He's been here for 3 years. He's going to have to do his part. Then you have Preston Parker. Kevin Ogletree was brought in this week. Then, of course, you have Corey Washington here as well. You know, this is going to have to be a team effort, Jeff, because no one's going to draw the attention or be as trusted as Victor Cruz was when it comes to Eli Manning. So all these guys are going to have to contribute. This isn't going to be one guy steps in and takes Victor's job.
Well, what you'd like to see is that one guy step up, whether it's any of those guys that you just mentioned. I think more importantly, Reuben Randall has been the go-to guy as far as targets. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but I know it's a lot.
Reuben Randall, 28 catches on 47 targets. So that's a lot of targets.
They are trying to get the ball to him, and you would hope from a Giants perspective that maybe Reuben Randall is the next guy up that really makes an impact, that teams all of a sudden have to play a little bit, pay a little bit more attention to him, and then get Odell Beckham moving and get him running around. So, but I think that you really have to go out on this field if you're one of those receivers and do your assignment, do what you're supposed to do, get in your playbook, get on the same page with Eli Manning, and make some plays. I think that this team has been lacking in the big play ability, but I think Odell Beckham brings a little bit of that to this game this weekend.
And frankly, it wouldn't hurt for Larry Donnell to have a game after the last 2 weeks of being shut out.
Oh, you know, and we should throw his name in that mix.
Yeah.
Because really, the last couple weeks, one reception, you know, has not been able to get the ball to him. But I think this is the week that if the teams are going to go out and try to just play this simple defense that, Dallas seems to be doing, hey, let Larry Donnell get the ball. He can make things happen. He's a big play guy.
Talked to Barry Church this week, safety for the Cowboys. You'll hear that on our pregame show on WFAN on Sunday. And he said he really sees the last 2 weeks, teams paying more attention to Donnell, and that's what's taking him out of the game. And, of course, Victor Cruz, the Giants' big threat in the slot. Who's going to replace him in the slot? Will it be Preston Parker? Is there a guy that fits there based on their skill set? Ben McAdoo says it's really not that big of a deal who goes into the slot. It's not that difficult to make that adjustment.
Well, just because you're a slot receiver doesn't mean you're a, you know, a shifty guy or a quick guy rather than a fast guy. Or, you know, you can use different body types in there. You know, whether you're a big guy who's who's a physical type receiver, whether you're a long linear guy that plays with speed, or whether you're a short, quick type guy, they're all different kinds of slot receivers, and each of them do different things well. We train concepts here. We teach conceptually. So whether you're number one, you're number two, or number three, you have to know what everyone has and how it impacts what you do. And so sliding a guy in one slot or sliding him out one slot is different, but it's not a huge challenge.
And McAdoo, obviously Giants offensive coordinator, trying to soft sell replacing Cruz in the slot. And I get that, and he's right to a large extent. However, and this was a separate question I'd asked before that answer, whether or not he would have confidence of putting Beckham into that slot spot. But Jeff, with no practices in the summer, only a couple in the spring, only 3 weeks of practices here in the fall, to ask him to now go into the slot and learn a somewhat different position, I think it's probably asking a little bit too much of the kid. I can't imagine it's going to be anybody but Preston Parker that plays in the slot on Sunday.
Well, I think you're correct, and this is why. Why create some problems there when Odell Beckham has not played that position,
right,
where Preston Parker has? Okay, Preston Parker's your guy, all right? Now, I'm not saying he said we're conceptually an offense where we can – yeah, you can put him in there maybe for a play or two to change some things up, but I think you have to keep him on the outside, and I think that Preston Parker is a guy that can get the job done. I mean, Ogletree is another guy that plays very well in the slot.
He does.
He's done it well with Dallas and the other teams he's played. He's a good route runner. He's very quarterback-friendly. He runs really good routes from that position, and he can create problems. But, you know, I don't know how much, again, he's gotten in this playbook. I know he's been doing a nice job this week of picking some things up, but you can't expect him to be, the big, huge playmaker now that they're putting him in there. But I agree with you. I just don't see them taking Odell Beckham and trying to really make it difficult on him and giving him a whole new playbook at the slot position.
Now let's jump over to the cornerback position, another place where the Giants are certainly having a lot of issues in terms of injuries. They lost Tremaine McBride for the season when he dislocated his thumb last week. He underwent surgery this week, and he's out for the year. They lost Walter Thurman with that torn pec earlier in the year. So those are those top two slot corners, which means it's time for Jaron Hosley, who served a 4-game suspension earlier in the year. And by the way, the bad news doesn't stop there. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, it looked like he was out there on the practice field. It wasn't quite open to the media yet, so we don't know for sure, but he might be out there today on the practice field. We'll get word on that as soon as we can for you, but he didn't practice Wednesday. He didn't practice on Thursday, and he's been in and out of the last 2 weeks' worth of games with this injury. So the cornerback position is a bit of a mess, but Perry Fuel has been comforted by what he's seen in practice so far this week from the guys that are healthy.
We have some guys that haven't played a whole lot that will have to come up and play. Is it a concern? The way that they've practiced the last 2 days, I feel better about it. You know, when the game time comes, you never know how you feel, but I feel very confident in how we prepared.
And it's great to be prepared. It's great to be there in practice, but
there's the but word.
Well, there is a but there, and here's the issue. The Cowboys move their wide receivers around, and they'll play Dez Bryant outside, and then they'll put Dez Bryant in the slot. As good of a corner as Prince has been, and I think he's been a Pro Bowl caliber corner this year, I've never seen him take a snap in the slot, ever. Never seen it happen. What happens when Dallas puts Dez Bryant in the slot on Jaron Hosley? How is that going to work for the Giants defense?
That's what you call, I need help. And that's where you got the safety that needs to help him, right? I mean, really, I don't mean to get on Jerome Hosley really bad, but the fact is the guy, he had a horrible training camp. I mean, in his own admission, but we saw it. You know, he's not there yet. And as Perry Fuel has said all along, that the guy has the skills and the tools to play the position.
Well, he was a third-round pick.
He's just between the ears, as we say in football terms. He does, you know, there's something missing there sometimes. And if you get that matchup and there's something missing in between there, that's big play potential for the Cowboys. You're going to need help with the safety. You know, really, at the beginning of the year, we all talked about how strong and how deep this secondary was, and now we're sitting here, right? Am I right?
Every year we have this talk in August. We're so deep in corner,
oh
and then guys just start dropping
like
flies.
I mean, we don't even know who's going to make the team. We're so deep, and I mean, it's going to be crazy. We're going to be trading these guys, but now you're just with the guys that are here have got to play, and unfortunately, I think they're going into a Cowboys offense from a perspective. We know they can run the ball, but Tony Romo can throw the ball. Against a defense of the Giants that's kind of beat up in the secondary.
And, Jeff, you mentioned Jaron Hosley admitting he did not play well during training camp. He talked to the media, and he said he was not happy with his performance, partially, he said, because that suspension that was looming did weigh on his mind.
Right now I feel like I'm at a much better place than I was at the time. I feel more comfortable, feel more fluent, you know, and especially having the time off. I got more time to have more time to work on myself and, you know, work on certain things. So at this time, I feel much better than I did, you know, during training camp.
And jumping back to that matchup for a second, Jeff, even if he plays well and he plays his best football against Dez Bryant, it's simple physics. Dez Bryant, 6'1", 6'2", with really long arms. Jaron Hosley is 5'10".
Yeah.
I mean, if he gets him on those little slant routes, Hosley's just not going to be able to get to the football. So do you think the Giants are going to shadow Dez? Are they going to have Prince follow him everywhere? Or do you think they're going to play their sides, Hosley play the slot, and play him straight up that way? What do you think they're going
to
do?
I think they're going to try to see what Hosey can do, and then maybe they can always go to that, what you were saying.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it is hard to get your guy jumping around all over the place, because when one guy moves, it creates problems for the others where they move
to.
So, you know, the less moving parts, the better. Defensively, you want to get in your set and see what you're doing and play from there. But, hey, guys get paid. These are professional athletes. And you know what? If you can't do the job, you're not going to be here. They're going to find somebody else that can do it. But right now they're asking Jerron Hosley to do the job. That's why they drafted him in the third round. That's why he's back out there playing this weekend, and you sure hope that he can do it. You know, the time off is – I never had a suspension.
He should have fresh legs, right?
Well, he definitely has fresh legs. And hopefully he has a fresh mind that he can get his mind right. And it sounds to me like that's kind of what he was saying.
Yeah.
This time gave me that opportunity to reflect on what I was suspended for, and now I get an opportunity. When you think about it, most teams – sometimes we just say goodbye. You're not coming back. He had a chance to come back now, and that's a blessing to him and any professional player to be able to come back and be able to have a job when you get here after a suspension. Now go out and show the team that you can do it.
And Cole Beasley, another guy the Cowboys often play in the slot, much shorter, quicker guy. Doesn't really get down the field, but he's more of that possession guy
scrappy.
Down underneath.
He can kind of make those little, you know, and I like him. I think
Julian Edelman type of guy.
I was just going to say, just like those little slot receivers like Edelman and he can be a nuisance at point, too, because you know what? Once you start paying attention to Williams and Dez Bryant.
And Jason Witten.
And Jason Witten. Here comes, you know, I think he's number 11, right?
Yeah.
Here comes the blonde-haired, long-haired number 11 guy that can make some plays.
If you remember right, he had those two big third-down conversions in that drive against the Giants last year, so he's certainly somebody that has done some damage before. Zach Bowman, if Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie can go, and hopefully we'll have some more information on that as the show goes along, he will play outside. Now, he, unlike Jaron Hosley, has a lot of experience. He started for the Bears, good big guy, physical, cover two type of cornerback, and he talked about some of the challenges the Giants face in playing a mobile quarterback like Tony Romo.
Yeah, it's a very – I mean, you know, he's a great quarterback. I mean, you know, he always makes plays with Tony Romo. You know, the game's never over.
Both ways.
Last year we played him. I mean, you know, he did a phenomenal job. And, you know, the big thing about him is, you know, he will always extend the play. So, you know, for us on the back end, you know, we have to stay on our guys whenever he does that.
And that means covering people longer, Jeff. But I think the difference we've seen with Romo this year is they're not asking him to do as much. In years past, they had a bad offensive line.
Yeah,
he didn't have a running game.
Life.
And he had to throw it 40, 50 times a game, down 14 points, and that's how you get turnovers. That's how you get mistakes. We're seeing when he's not being asked to do quite as much this year, he's playing much more efficiently, over 70% completion percentage his last five games.
Yeah, his completion percentage is up there. And one other thing, too, is, you know, he has a running game to be able to take the pressure off of him of making big plays. This team converts a lot of third downs.
Number one in the league, over 50%.
And that comes from a solid running game on first and second down and not relying on Tony Romo to convert a third down conversion, a long third down, you know, seven or more, when you got a running game like they do. And, you know, as I got later in my career, I'm not comparing myself to Tony Romo by any means. I'm just maybe because of the age factor is that, you know, things creep up on you and you have to change some of the way you do things. And they've done that with Tony Romo this year, is not having him practice on Wednesday.
Well, now, he had back surgery in the offseason too.
And so, I mean, it does make a difference, because every Wednesday you don't practice is one day extra that you don't have to do things. And it creates a little bit of a buffer is how you feel going forward. And I think the Cowboys, the run that they're on, this is only helping them. And obviously it's showing that it's working, because Tony Romo is doing a nice job. Not to mention that offensive line for the Dallas Cowboys is doing a nice job too.
One note down the third down percentage. Dallas, I mentioned, number one in the league, 56% converting their third downs. The Giants, though, in their last four games are holding teams to only 19% on third down. That's best in the league.
It's going to be a big right
give
there.
Or take
That's
here.
A big matchup.
And the way the Cowboys get into those third and manageables, by the way, and you mentioned it, is the running attack. And Mike Patterson talked to the media earlier in the week, and he harkened back to some early 90s days with the Dallas Cowboys.
Kind of remind me when I first came in to the league, how the Cowboys were with Emmitt. They had a big offensive line. They all been physical, and they just kind of give Emmitt somewhat of a look, and he's going to make the best out of it. Murray, he's been really doing pretty good as far as he's feeding off his offensive line. They've been able to move a lot of guys, and he's been able to see that and take advantage of it.
And he said it. I mean, look, everything Dallas does now starts with the running game. And here's a crazy stat for you, Jeff. I couldn't believe this stat when I saw it. DeMarco Murray this year, if I can find the number, here it is, has 594 rushing yards on first down, more than any other running back in the league has on any other down. The next highest first down rushing total for another player is 285. He is 300 more first down rushing yards than any other running back in the league. So the Cowboys are running on first down. The Giants got to stop it.
And here's the thing. Okay, they're into six games during the season already. You don't think the teams know that they get that production on first down and they're going to try to stop it?
They're not stopping it. They can't stop it.
They can't stop it. So there it is in professional football. It's all about matchups. It's a chess game. How is Perry Fuel and that Giant defense going to defend that first down rushing attack for DeMarco Murray and that offensive line? They're going to have to do something.
And look, they're dealing with the Cowboy offensive line that you already referenced, Jeff, one of the best in the league. Three first-round picks. They will be without their right tackle this week. Doug Free is out with a foot injury. Jeremy Parnell will be in there for him. Now, he's played a bunch of them. He's a veteran. He has experience.
Sure.
But how do you think that's going to affect that continuity on the offensive line that has been so good?
You know what? I wasn't a big Doug Free fan. Remember a couple years ago? He was almost out the door.
No, in fact, Parnell started splitting snaps with him at the end of the season, I think back in 2012. Justin Tucker used to abuse him regularly.
Abuse him.
Correct.
So I'm not a big fan of Doug Free. So I think, you know, he was in that starting group that's been doing so well. So I don't think it's a huge blow. I think if it was something in the middle, maybe a little bit better. But I don't think it's a big deal, John. I really don't.
Now here's the Battle of Titans, though. Tyron Smith, who did miss practice on Wednesday with an ankle, but he's back at practice now and he seems to be okay, against Jason Pierre-Paul. He doesn't have the numbers now,
right,
but he's been very effective this year. He didn't play well against Philly, but he's been great against the run and has been very active getting after the quarterback.
And Smith is a stud.
He might be the best left tackle in the league.
He is a stud, and I saw a statistic this week that he made the offensive player of the week as a tackle.
First time I think that's happened since I think Brian Waters did it for the Chiefs back in 2003. I think that was a number, which is absolutely
that
insane.
That is crazy.
Do you think JPP stays over Smith the whole game, or do you think they'll move him around to try to get him a better matchup?
I don't think they can move him around, because you know what? JPP is their best pass rusher, and that's their best lineman. I think that what JPP needs to do against him is establish it in his mind that he's better than he is, okay, and have that one-on-one matchup and say, you know what, I'm going to beat you today. But I would like to see a little bit more. I know that JPP is defending the run well and he's doing good, but I would like to see some of that old JPP back, where if he punches me in the mouth,
punch
that
back
play, the next play, I'm a little pissed off. I'm going to go after him. I saw that early in his career.
Bring it back.
I'm not seeing much of that right now. I'm just seeing he gets – it's just – I need a little bit of a mean streak in JPP.
201-939-4513. We'll get to the Cowboys offense, the Cowboys defense rather, and the Giants offense in just a bit. But you guys have been winning very patiently, so I want to get to your calls at 201-939-4513. You're watching Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by DraftKings. Listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. So no Adrian Peterson suspension ruining your fantasy season. You can change that lineup. Hurry, get free entry into $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now and enter Blue to play for free. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter Blue for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Now to the phones at 201-939-4513. And our first caller of the show is Big Ed from Maryland. What's going on, Big Ed?
What's up, Big
Ed? What's up, Big John? Is that the Big Figs you got with you, too?
That is Big Figs. What's going on, Big Ed?
It's the greatest punter of Giant history so far.
Right.
Kicking under 10 yards, inside 10 yards. Figs, you're the best, man. What's up?
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. But
you're making him blush. He's actually more red than usual, which is saying something.
This is not the Jeff Beagle show, okay? This is about you, Big Ed. And you know what? This is your show right now.
What do you got, Big Ed? Lay it on me.
All right, look. I'm going to be brief about what happened last Sunday.
Yeah, please.
We're going to beat a dead horse.
Okay, brief. That was brief. That was it.
Oh, that's right. Good. Okay.
Because you didn't do anything.
Well said.
You didn't put up a point. I mean, I've seen this game before. I never want to see that kind of game again.
All right, so let's turn the page, talk about Dallas for us, Big Ed. Let's go.
Okay, Dallas week. What do we do to beat Dallas? It's quite simple. Do what we always do to beat Dallas. Do something they're not expecting. But here's where I'm at with it. As far as the offense goes, I don't want to hear nobody talk no more crap about the offensive line. We're good. They're great. Period. They're much better than they were last year. They're holding their own. Leave it alone. So, therefore, saying this, run the ball. Mm-hmm. Start with Peyton Hillis. I know y'all talking about, well, Andre Williams, man. Listen, he's a rookie. He doesn't know how this league is yet. He's still learning it. Get somebody who has a veteran presence in there. This is only if you really want to win the game. Start Peyton Hillis.
Well, Big Ed, one thing real quick.
And do it just like that, because we had that with Rashad Jennings.
Yeah, Big Ed, one thing real quick. Last week, by the way, Peyton Hillis had more plays than Andre Williams had. Mm-hmm. Just a little FYI for you.
Right. That's why you need to start. We need power and speed. That's what we were good at. That's why we won those three games.
Well, I don't know if Hillis has speed.
Rashad Jennings brought in the power in the first half. Williams brought in the speed in the second.
Listen, I think I can see your point. I really can.
Both guys are going to play no matter who starts.
There's no question they're going to play.
Yeah.
But I think Andre Williams, he is a rookie and he is learning, okay, and he has to be a little bit more patient. When you notice that Rashad Jennings is patient running.
Oh, he is.
Exactly.
But that is – there you go. Okay, but is Peyton Hillis a patient runner? Peyton Hillis is not a patient runner in my mind.
No, he puts his head down and he barrels.
Obliterates through that, right? So I think that there's more of
that's why he needs to do it. Now you get it. If he goes and do just that, which you just said, it opens up for Williams where he can still get over 100 yards without having to carry the ball so much.
All right.
All right, Big Ed.
Still going to need to set that up to go down the field.
Finish up, Big Ed. What else he got?
We got to go deep. If we're not going to go deep on them, he needs to take Beckham deep at least 2-3 times to establish what Victor would have done, you know, because that's our next best thing.
Well,
all right, Big Ed.
They've tried to go deep a couple times in the last two games with Beckham, okay?
Right.
I think more importantly for this receiver group is that they could, yes, get a couple deep balls and, more importantly, complete them. But the other thing is I want to see more production after the catch out of these receivers. I mean, Reuben Randle, yeah, he's getting a lot of targets and a lot of catches, but we haven't really seen a big play out of Reuben Randle yet after the catch. You know, and so to me, it's more important for these guys to make plays with the ball in their hand and after they catch it rather than to try to go deep and hit the big ball.
And here's the trick. I think they tried to go deep to get that big play a little bit more last week against Philadelphia, and that's when we saw some of the warts on the offensive line. They couldn't protect Eli on those five-step drops. Let's hear from Weston Richburg talking about the Giants' offensive line and putting last week behind them and focusing on Dallas.
A lot of the success of the offense is dependent on what we do, and obviously the offense was not successful, and that comes back to us not having a good night. So we all took it personal, and our goal now is to move forward, forget about it, and focus on Dallas this week.
And that's what they have to do, and I think they need to get back to that short passing game, Jeff. And you said run after the catch, but the one thing Dallas does do, they team tackle.
Yeah, they make good tackles. You know, real quickly on Richburg, you know, you wonder with a young guy how fast he could get over something like happened last week.
And by the way, he allowed 3 quarterback pressures last week, which is the most he's allowed all season long.
So, you know, from a young man's perspective, you know, you have the other guys with Beedy and even Pugh now that he's been in the league for a year. But you got J.D. Walton, who's played, and John, Jerry. These guys are veterans. So I think it's a little easier for the veterans to kind of let it go. Yeah. Let's see how Richburg. That's tough for him.
I mean, even Justin Pugh on Wednesday was still talking about how embarrassed he was and how he wants to make up for it.
But it's hard.
But I love the way Pugh stood up and said, I had a terrible game.
He's always
a
stand-up guy.
He said to me, I asked him, how anxious are you to play? And he goes, John, I can't wait. I cannot wait to get that taste out of my mouth and play in another game.
And I was the same way when I had a bad game. I couldn't wait to get to Sunday again.
Of course.
Just to redeem myself, if you will. But the week going up to it sucked. It was so bad. Because no matter what you do, you're always thinking about how bad that you did in the last game, which give me the drive to want to get to that game on Sunday. When I hear that out of Justin Pugh, I like that. I like that a lot, and I think that can be contagious to some of those other guys that are on the offensive line.
And this from Patty Traina, who covers the Giants for Bleacher Report. DRC was on the practice field, and she thinks he'll be listed as limited, but still good news considering he was not out there. Joe, thanks for giving that to us. So DRC was out there at practice, and again, we'll see if he's listed as questionable or doubtful or probable even for Sunday's game. That's something we'll keep an eye on with that leg, hamstring, IT band, back spasm, various type of thing.
You could just say lower body.
Lower body injury, you like that? Is back technically lower body? There'll be back spasms. If it's lower back, is that lower body?
Yeah, I think that's – well, I don't know.
That's kind of mid-body, isn't it?
We can identify – yeah, mid-body. How about mid-body and below? I mean, it's tough. It's tough when you're beat up.
I mean, at least he has a bye week to try to get healthy, so
yeah,
it's always a good thing.
And you just hope that –
because they need him.
That's enough. For
they need him, too. They need him.
That there's not anything really in there that could be serious that we don't know about.
And that's a guy that needs his legs to run. That's his game. Yeah. So he has to be out there. He has to be healthy. 201-939-4513. I haven't heard from this guy in over a year. Zeke in Virginia Beach. Zeke, I know you tried to get it earlier in the week, but welcome to the show on Friday. Thanks for joining us. What's going on, bud?
Hi, Zeke.
Hi, I'll make it quick. How you doing? How you doing, Eagles and John?
Doing
I'll
great,
make it
Zeke.
Real quick. All right. The offensive line, defensive line, reared its ugly head again since 2011 NFC Championship game. Let's make that first. I hope it rears its ugly head again. I'm talking about Halloween. These guys need to be nasty on Sunday. They need to take a page from the Jets playbook, which played very well last night. Against the Patriots, they were absolutely nasty yesterday. We don't need to start any other running back. Our offensive line needs to block.
That's
true. I'm tired of you calling for Peyton Hillis. He is no better than Andre Williams. Our line needs to block. That's just where it has to be. All right, now we have two headlines coming from this game here, fellas. Either we're going to play inspired for number 80, and our D-line and linebackers aren't going to let DeMarco Murray set a record against us, or the Cowboys are sweep to Florida. But it's up to the players to play hard. And two numbers here, or one number, 11-5. We got to get to it no matter what. That means we have to beat the Cowboys. And over the next 5 games that are really crucial, we got to at least beat 3-2 over the next 5 games. And we got to beat the Cowboys starting this week or we're in dire trouble. All right, John, love talking to you. Jeff Eagles, love seeing you. Well, I love seeing you play back in the day. But
thank you.
I'll just take your comments
back
off air. Thanks,
so much. Thank you, Zeke. Well, you know, in fairness, you did play back in the day.
It was. We clarify that.
Now, back when you first started, you had the one bar on the helmet, right?
Nope.
On the punter?
Nope. Lindetta did.
Lindetta had the one bar. Okay.
I think he was still the only one left in the NFL that wore that. They grandfathered it in for him. I was always too afraid to wear just the one bar. Because, I mean, it's, you know, I don't know.
Anyway, to Zeke's point, not to get off on a tangent here, which we have the tendency to do on this Friday show.
That's all right.
I do think the running game on both sides is going to be the key. And we talked about those first down numbers a little bit earlier in the show. This should be a game, Jeff, where the Giants can run the football.
Let's talk about the Dallas defense and what they do against the run.
Exactly. As much as Dallas has improved from last year, a lot of it has to do with the fact that the Dallas offense is keeping them off the field.
Yeah.
The Cowboy defense is still struggling. They're allowing other teams to run for 5.1 yards per carry, and they're also allowing them to average over 6 yards per play. Both numbers are two of the worst in the league. So this Cowboy defense, though improved, again, it's not as bad as it was last year. They're in the middle of the league in terms of yards allowed. It's helped by the time of possession by the offense. You can run the ball on these guys.
And if you can run the ball on these guys, it goes to exactly what John just said. The Giants run the football against a horrible run defense, okay? What does that equate to, John? Time of possession,
yep.
Converting first downs. More importantly, what does it do? It keeps that Cowboy offense off the field, okay, because they can get that Cowboy running game. And so it all comes down to that. The offensive line has got to have a chip on their shoulder. I think they got to man up this week and just, I mean, play physical as they ever have. This is an offensive line just because of what happened last week. We can't discredit what they did 3 weeks prior to that. Okay, they gave up almost, I think I had it in here, 8 sacks. That's the Cowboys. Here it is.
No, you're right. Giants gave 8 sacks last week. You're right, it was 8.
Okay,
it was 6 against Eli, 2 against Nassib.
And then before that, what was it? It wasn't very many.
I think they gave up 1 sack in 3 weeks,
okay,
something
so
like that. It wasn't a lot.
They had a bad game, and they had a really bad game. And I still think that this offensive line for the Giants is good enough to get it done against that front seven against the Cowboys. Run the football, have an attitude about it, and chew up that time of possession, and more importantly, score some points, because they're going to need to score some points.
And let's go to our last piece of sound. Eli Manning did talk to the media yesterday, and he talked about this Cowboys defense and what they're doing when he watches them on tape.
They're playing good football. Their defense is playing fast. They run to the ball. They're making plays. Not many teams are scoring a lot of points on. Their offense does a great job of holding on to the ball. Winning time of possession, so you're not getting, the opposing offenses aren't getting many possessions. And so, they're finding ways to win games. And so you got to give them a lot of credit. They got a good scheme, and their players are playing well.
But, Jeff, they are built around speed, and that's one concept that I heard all the different Giant players in the locker room talking about the last couple of days. It's speed, speed, speed. Their most physical player is probably their middle linebacker, Alonzo McLean, who's a legit 260, 270 middle linebacker. That can run down the field, by the way.
What a resurrected guy this is.
And boy.
I mean, come on.
They lose Sean Lee. You figure that they're finished, right? This guy's come in and done a heck of a Sean Lee impersonation.
They lose Sean Lee. They lose Ware. And that's why everybody at the beginning of the season was saying, oh, my God, this Dallas Cowboys.
And Jason Hatcher. Don't forget
him. And Hatcher, yeah. So I think this was an addition by subtraction in a sense that they go out and get McLean on a whim and a prayer.
Seventh-round pick, conditional.
Thinking
from the Ravens.
That, you know, and this guy comes and plays remarkably good, and he flies around. And I think that defense, like Eli said, they fly around and make some plays, but they can be attacked.
And
they
definitely can
be attacked.
And you can power them. They've given up more 10-plus yard runs than I think any other team in the league. They don't have that number in front of me.
And two, you know what, John?
What's
this
that?
Defense for the Cowboys, they don't have a lot of sacks.
No, they do not.
Okay, so you look at what happened last week against the Eagles, and they lead the NFL in sacks after that game. They probably should. But the Cowboys, they don't have very many sacks. According to my, what is it, right here?
No, they do not. I believe they have the defensive line has accounted for only like 6 or so, and I think they only have 8.5 on the year.
So really the question is, which offensive line for the Giants is going to show up this week? Is it going to be the one that we just
talked about?
That were solid and made progress those last three games up until the Eagles, or is it going to be the one that had 7 penalties and 8 sacks? If that's the case, goodbye.
And here's the number. Dallas has allowed 29 rushes this year of 10 or more yards. That's the most in the NFL. And they've allowed 8 runs of 20-plus yards, the second most in the NFL. So you can certainly get them with the running game. 201.
Get to that second level.
No question. 201-939-4513. Back to the phones. Nick is in Morris Plains, New Jersey. Nick, thanks for holding. What's going on, pal?
Hi, Nick.
Hey, John. Hey, Jeff. How you guys doing?
Doing great, Nick.
All right. A couple things real quick. First thing is, I want to know what you think the coaches see and Ogletree instead of bringing the guys up from the practice squad?
I think he's reliable. I think he's a guy that's going to go where Eli Manning thinks he's going to go. He's a veteran, which I think they like. You want to have one wide receiver on this roster that's been around the park a couple of times. And I think once he's here through the bye week, once he gets back off that bye and Ogletree will do his work over the next 2 weeks, I think he'll know enough of the offense where, you know what, he could even supplant Preston Parker as a slot guy if he shows enough in the next couple weeks of practice.
Exactly. You know, he's a smart guy. He's played that slot position. He's played all the positions, really.
Yeah.
He's a very physical, good route runner, like I said a little bit earlier. And they need his experience. You know, we talk about it all the time. These young guys that come into, just like Andre Williams, you are learning every single year. I was still learning being a punter in my, like, 18th year.
Yeah, you learn how to take more practices off.
You learn how to do stuff. Exactly. Manipulate the system, if you will. But my point to this is that you bring in a veteran guy, even though, you know, he was on the street, he still has some experience, and that experience means something, opposed to a rookie guy that may be just, you know, on the practice squad that you bring him up. Okay, there's going to be situations in the game from a perspective of being a veteran that he might have had already in his career where he's in a certain coverage or there's a certain play that he realizes that, hey, I got to do this and this. A younger guy may not make that read or decision where Eli Manning is then there on the same page. So that's the answer, I think, that he was looking for. The upside to having a young guy is that maybe he's a little more talented, but I think the downside is the risk of him not knowing what the heck he's doing on
the field.
Making
a mistake that turns into a
turnover. It turns into a pick six, and there you go.
Nick, what else you got for us?
Right. The other thing is I want to know is how bad is Steve's foot? Because I don't think he's punting bad, but he's not pinning the other team back like he's done for us in the past year.
I will let the punter answer that one. And, Nick, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate
it. You know, I see Steve, you know, and I talk to him. I don't really ever get into it because it's like one of those things you don't want to ask a guy how bad he's feeling or how good. I just, you know, but one of the problems that I see with Steve is the fact that that has to be affecting him. I don't care if it's 100% or he says it's 100%. That's your plant foot. So when you're planting, you feel it. It changes your technique and your fundamentals a little bit, which then in the long run will affect the quality of the kick. And so I think that is affecting his kicks this year. But on the other point is that he's not the only guy on the field that are covering those guys, and they have to stop making big plays against them because they're really putting their team at harm. Two block kicks. We've had a couple big returns for touchdown. Big returns. And really, when you get in a divisional game and it's a tight game, not talking like last week, but